Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got 25 more minutes left here on the program. I'm Tim with Walker, Ray, and Steve Jordahl.
Good morning.
You voted yet, Steve?
No, sir. I'm leaving work after this show because I'm going to be here back to do the afternoon news and then through the evening. So I'm going to spend an hour or two, I suppose, in line this afternoon earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are voting all over the country. We've got, I don't know, Ray, and Steve, Ray, you can answer this first. Steve, you can jump. Are there any high profile gubernatorial races out there? I can't name one.
Well, let's see. Frank mentioned the one in North Carolina.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Which, run Forrest, run. And that's a, right. That's an all time great political slogan. there's one up in New Hampshire. Who knows?
Not a lot of governor's races, I don't think, this time around. But basically, it's the House, the Senate, and the White House. That's and then some statewide referendums, I guess. But, you know, most sometimes there's four or five big governor's races that people are watching. Doesn't seem to be true this time. Steve, go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, no, I'm not following it. I haven't been aware of any big races. I know, Tim, you really enjoy watching the polls, and I shot you this morning. I gave a copy to everybody. Did you see this company, Wick, which is polling? And we all know that the polls were somehow terribly broken in 2016. They had Hillary Clinton up to the day of the election, up by, in some cases, double-digit points, and she lost. So something was going wrong, and this company, Wick, had late in this whole cycle took another look at their polling. They're an independent polling company, and they were also getting the same results as everybody that you see on Real Clear Politics. That had Joe Biden ahead and ready to win, but something just didn't feel right to the founder, this guy that David Burrell. He was seeing the enthusiasm at Trump rallies. He was seeing the car caravans. He was seeing the boat caravans, and just the difference in the enthusiasm gap, which is just immense. And he says something's wrong, so he retooled everything. And the article that I have, and I can I'll get one to Brent if you want to look. You can look on our Facebook page and look at where at some of the sausage how it's made. But basically, he found that that there's a lot of shy Trump voters that aren't talking to pollsters. He also found that the Hispanic and African American votes are going to come out way stronger for Trump than is being thought about. So here's his breakdown of battleground states. He's got Trump ahead by 3 points in Florida. He's got Trump ahead by 2.2 points in North Carolina. He's got Trump ahead in Ohio by 3, in Georgia by 2.5, in Pennsylvania by 2, in Michigan. It's a toss-up. Biden has about a 0.3% lead.
Just in case somebody's just turned on the radio, I think you're giving results from early morning.
I'm not.
Early morning voting.
These are polls. These are polls.
What Steve's talking about is there's a pollster, the company. What's the name of it again?
Wick. W-I-C-K.
Yeah, had you heard of them before? I had not heard
of
them.
No, I hadn't really.
But evidently they're been around.
They're kind of the engine behind a lot of the polls.
Okay. Okay, but you're telling the fella in charge there at the company is saying he's the one that's saying those numbers you just touted, which are based on probably surveys from the last couple of days.
It's the way that they're taking the polls is not by calling somebody up and asking them. These people who took these polls did not have to interact with another human to kind of get rid of that factor of, well, I'm going to vote for Trump, but I don't want anybody to find out unless I lose my job kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. Well, I guess we're going to know a lot tonight,
right?
About the quote shy voter,
yeah,
out there or not, and how much enthusiasm there is for Joe Biden and Donald Trump. My guess is, I think everybody recognizes, the only real energy for Joe Biden is somebody instead of President Trump, right, to vote for. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's where he's drawing his support, because. So, but as we've noted, the Trump rallies all over the country, especially the last couple of weeks. I don't see how the man did it physically, but he did. He went till last night. We got home at 3 in the morning.
Yep.
By home, I mean the White House, and then got up at 6 to do Fox and Friends, and I guess he's going to be up all day long into the night, probably.
You heard, I know that Fred played one of those clips from Fox and Friends this morning. It's the first time that I've heard tired in the president's voice, and he did sound weary. But, I mean, good grief. At his age and what he's done, I would be...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things where, for President Trump, he knew that he was behind in the polls, and he wanted to do everything he possibly could to give himself a chance today to win. So that's why he just laid it all on the line, went on this kind of rock star tour, although he did 3 concerts a day, you know, all over the country. So as I said earlier, so he knows if he loses tonight, President Trump, he would have given it everything he had. That's what I'm saying. He would have given it everything he had.
Definitely left it all out on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Next story, Steve.
Well, a lot of places gearing up for some violence tonight. There's a report that finds that there's heightened risk for militia activity. This is an independent survey, according to CBS News, finds that there's especially a risk for civilian militia activity in Oregon, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. For some reason, plus Washington D.C., New York City, are all
what militia?
Well, they don't say, but I've only really seen one militia out there. Now there is groups like the Proud Boys that I've seen, but
they're not violent.
Well, I haven't seen them, even if they were, and I don't think they are, but I haven't seen them out in the numbers. Listen to this is I don't have the tape, but this is from a Zoom call that was monitored. And was kind of supposed to be secret, but this is, they're quoting here a lady named Lisa Fithian, who's been described by Mother Jones as the nation's best-known protest consultant. And on this call, she said, "We are going to be in a crisis, but we wanted to make sure that it's one that we are creating. We want them to be responding to us, not respond to them. In a situation of a coup or an insurrection or an uprising, whoever's got the guns often can win. We should be clear, Trump has to go."
She's a left winger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that video.
So the point is that around the country, the anticipation is that left-wing mobs are going to start looting tonight and burning things and roaming the streets if President Trump wins, because they're mad about it.
Yeah.
Well, and
is that the idea?
Well, but listen to this. They they found some graffiti on a Democrat congressman's office, and the graffiti read, "Where is it? Not elections, revolution."
Okay. You know what? I don't give much credence to graffiti. Either way.
I just think that even if Biden wins, there's going to be some upset and some unrest.
Yeah. Anybody can spray paint a building and then say the other side did it.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen false hate crimes?
Yeah, Steve? I hope we're wrong here, but I mean, we're not pulling this stuff out of thin air. No.
They're really being boarded up.
Yeah, and they're publicizing, these left-wing groups are publicizing that they plan to burn things down.
Just like Steve just quoted.
Yes. So I hope we're wrong, but
we're not making this up.
Yeah, this is coming from their mouth, their words.
Well, you could foresee this following scenario, that the Trump wins in the Electoral College and Joe Biden wins in the popular vote.
It has happened last time and other times.
Yeah.
That's right. And if And if it were to happen that Biden ends up 3 million votes ahead or 4 million, I mean, that's – but Trump wins in the Electoral College, that's going to be all the excuse these – and I'm not even saying this, these groups need an excuse, but this is going to be their motivation to take it to the streets.
Yeah.
Well, then somebody will have to crack down on them.
Because, yeah, law enforcement.
Yeah, to stop them.
Well, and there's reports in several states of the National Guard being put on alert and being called up.
That's
so
wise.
Yeah.
That's wise.
Yeah, either way, I think the feds, President Trump and the FBI and DOJ, where governors will allow, they need to go in like they did in Kenosha 2 days later and clamp down, because we can't have people's private property destroyed.
And maybe it won't happen.
I hope not.
You know, maybe it won't happen. All we're doing is saying, all Steve is doing is reporting what the chatter is, and it's, you don't have to listen to secret coding. I mean, they're
right.
You got that? Where'd you get this information, Steve?
Well, it was written up in CBS News, but it was from a Zoom call that was made public.
So CBS News reporting that these far lefty Antifa types are planning on rioting.
Yeah.
If Biden doesn't win, there you go. So that's not. That's where this is coming from. That's why a lot of these stores are boarding up in these big cities. You're anticipating that tonight. Imagine that it was people on the far right who were who are announcing that they're going to riot if Trump doesn't win. Imagine the hysteria and the, you know, in the mainstream media against Trump.
Right.
Call off your dogs. Type thing. All right, Steve.
The mainstream media does not like President Trump at all. In fact, I want you to hear how they talk about him. This is a cut that's going to start off with President Trump talking about putting America first, and then listen to the mainstream media pile on. This is incredible. Cut three.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
When he said today, America first, it was not just the racial, I mean, the Hitlerian background to it.
There was an America first committee. They were infiltrated by the Nazis. Many of them were anti-Semitic, and part of why they weren't alarmed by Hitler's rise in Germany.
Outside of the Civil War, World War II, and including 9/11, this may be the most cataclysmic event the country's ever seen.
He's just disgusting to look at. He's obese. He's one of the repulsive physically looking human beings I've ever seen.
Absolutely no morals. Who's a bully, who acts like a bigot and a racist.
Now that next to last guy might have been talking about me, but I think he was talking about President Trump.
Yeah. Well, doing his dance. Trump has been doing his dance right to YMCA. Come on now. Give him a break.
What?
Yeah.
You're just showing how much they hate him.
Oh, it's unhinged. It's illogical.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah. But Trump is reaching out to the Hispanic and the African-American communities, and he's having some success. I want you to hear a little bit of an ad that the Trump campaign put together to reach out to the Hispanic vote. This is a song, and if you listen closely, you'll hear in a very Hispanic accent, Donald Trump. cut six.
Wow, I think I'm in Cancun.
I know, right?
Cool.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. That's well, we'll see. You know, there are reports that the president's gonna get 40% of the Hispanic vote in the country.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't like saying it like that. The black vote, the Hispanic vote, the Eskimo vote. I mean, it's really Americans who are of a particular ethnic group, I guess,
right,
who typically vote. I know that's a long way of saying, but you don't really have a, quote, Hispanic vote or a black vote. Everybody makes up their own mind.
Right.
But typically, African-Americans vote 90%+ for the Democrats. Hispanic Americans typically vote 60%+, I think, for the Democrats. And that's what Steve's talking about. President Trump's wanting to draw 15% of the African-American vote, yeah, if possible, of people who are of that ethnicity. So
he's got some African-American leaders kind of upset. Listen to what Maxine Waters had to say about black Trump voters, cut 12.
And for those black young men who think somehow they can align themselves with Trump, not only are they terribly mistaken, any of them showing their face, I will never, ever forgive them for undermining the possibility to help their own people and their own community. No.
Yeah, the problem is these Democrats have been running the country and in different cities for decades, and they haven't done anything for
Democrats take black voters for granted.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yeah, and Tucker Carlson did a great segment last night, his opening monologue, about Trump. He said Trump is an indictment on the ruling class. And, you know, the reason people are frustrated, I think the reason we have this such high voter turnout thus far, is that you've had the political class running our country for decades, and they haven't really been focused on doing good things for the American people. And so people are frustrated at that. And I think that's why you're seeing some of these demographics that typically go blue, go Democrat, they're turning out for President Trump because they want to try something different, because a lot of these communities have been stuck in poverty for a long time.
And, you know, what's interesting is if you look at the communities, there's really better reason for them to vote Republican than there is for them to vote Democrat, both the African-American and the Hispanic community. Deeply faith-driven,
yeah,
largely pro-life. It's just
and small business ownership amongst these demographics has been going boom under the Trump administration.
Right.
All right, go.
A couple of news items that aren't election related, but I think are kind of important. There was a terror attack in Austria yesterday. More than a dozen people have been arrested. Four people were killed, and including one of the assailant. Maybe they think there might have just been one assailant. He was a 20-year-old ISIS sympathizer, a dual citizen of Austria and North Macedonia. He did a rifle attack. He shot up people at several different locations in Austria, in the capital there of Austria, and so in Vienna. It was a sad thing, and it was really started at the lead synagogue in Austria. So it was kind of anti-Semitic as well as just plain ISIS terrorist attack. So a lot of stuff going on. The Europe, France was just attacked like last week, and now Austria. Europe is having a real hard time with its Muslim population.
Well, France has 10%, right?
Right.
So.
I don't know what it is in Austria, but it's up there too. They're upset at a lot of stuff. Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of Muslims are peaceful people, and they're glad to be in France or Western European countries. That's the reason they came there. They wanted to be there. But with Islam, you've got, you know, I don't know what their percentage is, but if they get where they, some people call it radicalized, if they take seriously the teachings of the Quran and they take it literally, it advocates for violent overthrow or violent attacks on your enemies. I mean, that's just the history of Islam. Look around the world. That's why you have ISIS. That's why you have Al-Qaeda. That's why you have wars going on seemingly, against non-Muslims in Africa. We see that, what's going on there. So the we've talked about this many times. Am I right, Ray?
Well, you're 100% right. And what is happening in Europe is not the work of 80% of the Muslims, because so many of them, just what you said, they're hardworking people. They're trying to get ahead and try to provide for their family. But it doesn't take very many, does it? It just takes an atmosphere in which they can feel protected, and just a tiny handful who are willing to do what happened in Austria last night. And the governments of Europe, they're handcuffed, but really they've handcuffed themselves by the policies they've chosen. Now, when this violence breaks out, they don't have an effective means to respond.
Yeah, and I will say this, Islam and Western-style democracy are incompatible. They're incompatible. So what you hope, if you are a person who lives in Western Europe, which, by the way, has become non-Christian in many ways. It's historically Christian, but much of Europe has left the faith of their fathers. But you can only hope that the Muslims who come to Europe become nominal Muslims. They're always going to be Muslims because that's their family identity. That's who they are as a group, as they can't, that's how they identify. But you just hope that they become secularized, if you know what I'm saying. Because the more secularized Muslims become, the less dangerous they are, and less threat they are to carrying out, quote, fundamentalist.
Well, and you know, we've used the term before, radicalized, right? And that can happen to anybody, but it is easy to see how it happens in these communities where they hear the propaganda and they hear the hate being spewed. Well, and then they go over the line, and then you have what happened in Austria last night.
Well, and what you have happen is you'll have in open countries, you'll have your faith insulted. And some people in France, they believe in freedom of speech, freedom of expression, so they run cartoons about the Prophet Muhammad.
Right.
Well, that is the ultimate insult to Muslims. Hmm. So some are going to attack people physically for doing that, or to terrorize
Kill them.
So you better stick with insulting Christians, because Christians, nor Jews, nor Hindus, nor Buddhists, attack people for a cartoon.
Right.
But Muslims, they will.
Yeah.
Some of them will, as we've seen in France and other places. But that's a tiny percentage of them that get that way. All right, Steve, we got about one minute or so left.
All right, some good news. The U.S. Marshals Service is reporting that they have rescued 27 missing children during a five-day operation in Virginia. It was called Operation Find Our Children. 27 missing children. Six were also found that happened to be living with a guardian, so they weren't really missing. But 27, and these are, they don't say in the news release, but most likely these were trafficked kids. And so the U.S. Marshals Service reuniting these kids with their parents, I can only imagine the relief that some parents are feeling today. Good news for them. You know, the Marshals Service says that they're able to rescue children in 75% of missing children cases assigned to them. That's a pretty good pretty good batting average there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Walker, remind folks what time we get cranked up tonight.
6 p.m. Central here on American Family Radio. You'll be able to watch on our website, AFR.net, 6 p.m. Central. We will begin election coverage immediately at 6:05 p.m. Central. So tune in. Have your family and friends tune in. Visit our website, AFR.net, and you can watch the coverage.
Chris Woodward will be giving top-of-the-hour news live throughout the night.
On our website. What about our Facebook and YouTube feeds?
AFR.net.
Just go to AFR.net. That's the easiest way to watch our video stream. All right, Ray, thanks.
Go vote. Go vote, everybody.
Absolutely. Right.
Absolutely. Make sure you go vote. And, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Fred Jackson, Frank Turek, Brent Creeley. We thank Brent for running the controls for us today. He's our producer. Have a good afternoon, and we'll see you live tonight at 6:05 Central Time here on American Family Radio. And we're going to go all through the night with our election coverage. We'll see you then.